was the theme music, so that means it's time for an episode. This is Ed Dye here. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about ghost pets, not people who are keeping ghosts as pets, but you'll see when we get to it. First, of course, like always, make sure you hit me and the rest of us up on social media. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, Ed Dye Podcast. If you want to get a hold of me directly, it's isediedead at Twitter, on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at isediedead, or just hit up the main website, isediedead.com. So you'll get all the shows, news. I know I've got to do more writing. People have asked me to do. Of course, if you enjoy what we're doing, hit us up on Patreon, patreon.com/isediedead. Two small tiers, nothing big, can help us keep moving, do a lot more. And speaking of doing a lot more, later this year, actually in November, we're going to be at AmazeCon number 7, I believe, this year. If you guys want details, always hit up AmazeCon.net. It's a small pop culture con. I've been done there a couple of times now. If you guys are interested, there's going to be a few different people. There's one of the zombies, one of the walkers from Walk of the Living Dead from the first few seasons is going to be there, and I believe he does a panel. Interestingly, there's also going to be, if you guys remember the show, Land of the Lost, the old school show, not the remake, because I believe there was a remake, but actors from the original series are going to be there, and I'm actually excited to meet Drac and Countess Carita. They are actually the 2019 Horror Host Hall of Fame inductees. So he's known as Drac, King of the Vampires, and with him, the Countess Carita, the darling of the undead. Hopefully I can get an interview, or at least a photo, or even a wink, and maybe if I'm lucky, a little nibble on my neck. Either or. And also be there will be William Wrigler, who, if you remember last year, we actually did an interview. So maybe we'll get a follow-up. I think he's got something new coming out, so we could talk about that and see what else has been going on. And tons more other stuff. Ghostbusters, the band Discipline Theory will be performing the after party, much like they did last year. Speaking of Discipline Theory, they've got two songs coming out August 31st as part of a compilation covers CD by Freedom Soundworks. It's actually on the album called Classics vs. Classics, Volume 3. And the whole deal here is all the bands are doing two cover songs, one from their genre, one outside of their genre, but before 2000. So if you guys want to see, head over to DisciplineTheory.com or Facebook.com/DisciplineTheory. The two songs they're doing is I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys. So you can get your dance on if you listen to it. And the classic goth vampire song, Cry Little Sister, from the awesome 80s horror teen fest, The Lost Boys. More info at their website. And if you guys are at AmazeCon, come say hello. Stick around for the after party where it's them performing. I believe Horror Show Jack is going to be doing a comedy routine. It's going to be fun. It's like going to camp and seeing a bunch of friends. And if you didn't know anyone, well, you'll know me and come say hello. All right, let's get to the news. Everyone is getting into the paranormal investigation these days, right? And that's fine. I have no problem with that. In fact, if anything, it makes it easier because there's so many people with paranormal issues and they have trouble finding somebody near them. Well, in a recent article, one lady said, I wonder how many other moms who are like us out there. Carpenter Chaydez. She was actually a mom and she got together with other moms. So she was wondering how many other moms are out there like their moms looking for something that they could do to get away from the kids on the weekend and looking for something that they are really into. So anyway, Carpenter Chaydez is one of 8 women who make up the Paranormal Mom Society, or shortened PMS. And they're located in Northlake, Illinois. And they were founded in 2007. Teresa Ban, another member, said a lot of people don't have the money. They don't know where to go. Things can get expensive. So we're just here to help, talking about their nonprofit group. In any case, they also said that cases that deal with kids and animals, they push up to the front of the pile. I guess that's just the mom in us, says Comfort to Chavez. Almost all the members have had paranormal experiences ranging from childhood to adulthood, which led them to get involved in paranormal investigations. So for those who want to check them out or contact them, or if you're in the North Lake, Illinois area, you want to visit their website and see what's going on, you can find them at paranormalmomssociety.com. I'll have a link on my site so you guys could follow. Maybe I'll reach out to them, see if they want to talk to us and give us a little information of what they've come across. Because I'm curious. You watch all these shows on TV, and yes, it seems to be a mostly male-dominated, I don't want to say genre, because it's not really a genre. It's an actual thing that people do. But on TV, it seems to be mostly men. Online, even on YouTube, there's a couple of groups, and I might actually do an episode on that. There's actually quite a few people that are doing shows online about it, and there you'll find more females. And of course, you got my friends, the Gettysburg Ghost Gals, who are gals doing their thing. And they've been doing it for quite a while. So it's nice to see the ladies doing it. But I'm actually curious if the whole mom twist takes a different play on how they approach things and do everything. And speaking of ghosts, National Ghost Hunting Day is coming upon us, the day when the world unites for a worldwide ghost hunt. This year, the event takes place on Saturday, September 28th. As their website says, there are many ways to be a part of this magnificent day. You could participate directly as a haunted location or ghost hunting team. You may volunteer to help us roll out this significant and exciting event. You could even be a spectator live on location or via live stream on the day of its production. There's going to be people all over the world. So you seriously, right now is the time to get a hold of the ghost hunting teams around you and find out who's actually letting people come along or who's nearby that you can watch and maybe go visit or talk to and see what and where they're doing. The day was actually established back in 2016 as a way to celebrate paranormal investigators of all levels, and it's held on the last Saturday in September, which basically starts off the whole Halloween Samhain season. Back on the first big hunt, I actually had the opportunity to join the Long Island Paranormal Investigators on their hunt as they investigated a haunted barbershop. For more details on that investigation, you can actually go back and check out our episode 22, where I actually do talk about some of the equipment, some of the stuff that happened. It's a whole episode within itself. You can find more information on Long Island Paranormal Investigators, or LIPI, or Lippy, as I like to call them, at their website, which is very easy, liparanormalinvestigators.com. I believe you can actually join them this year on their ghost hunt, and they're going to be at the Southampton History Museum. Go to their website and see if tickets are still available, because there's only a limited amount. They're not going to be bringing hundreds of people in with them. The more people you bring in, more contamination possibilities, so I know it's not a ton. So if you guys are interested, hit them up as soon as possible. If you guys are going to take place in the world's largest ghost hunt, let me know. Let me know up on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you can find an account that's Edi Podcast or Is Edi Dead. Drop me a line. Let me know. I'd like to know if you guys are going to hunt, if you're just going to be watching, or if you know of places or are part of a team that are going to be checked out. If you're part of it, I'd like to know where you guys would be investigating. Like I said, NationalGhostHuntingDay.com is a website you can go register your group if you're going to want to be hunting or have a place to hunt. LIParanormalInvestigators.com if you want to check out the people that I joined. And I'll have a link there for our episode 22 when we did the haunted barbershop. Now, jumping away from the paranormal, I want to jump into the horror. This is a quote actually said, and I'll let you know how it goes, who it's by. I'll do the score, do a new score. That's always fun. I'm on board. Let's go. I'm aboard. I'm ready. I love the experience. That is what John Carpenter had to say about scoring the next two, yes, two Halloween sequels that are actually due out October 2020 and October 2021 with the titles Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends. Well, Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends. Carpenter returned to the series, actually, having produced and scored last year's film. Halloween Kills is set to begin filming this fall. So I know many of you are going to be looking forward to, first of all, just a continuation of the series, considering this is an almost, you can almost say, multiverse version of the series, considering the series already had sequels. It's kind of like we're circumventing them and giving you a whole new storyline. And plus, just John Carpenter's fun when it comes to his music. And speaking of John Carpenter, the other bit of news is September 24th is the date set for the Blu-ray release of his film, John Carpenter's Vampires. Originally released in 1998, the film stars James Woods, Daniel Baldwin, Cheryl Lee, and Thomas Ian Griffith as a badass monk vampire. This new release will actually include special features such as interviews with John Carpenter himself, with producer Sandy King Carpenter, and cinematographer Gary K. Kibb. There's also interviews with James Woods and Griffiths, and there's actually a cool interview that's supposed to be on there with special effects artist Greg Nicotero. Now, that explains why the vampire and the effects looked really cool in the movie. There's also audio commentary with Carpenter himself, which should be interesting because I know the man has very strong views when it comes to horror. So I'm curious how on topic and how off topic he's going to go when he's talking about the movie and certain things he did in there. And for you fans of his music, which I know I freaking enjoy, there's actually a score only audio track. So you can watch the movie like a long ass music video, which is something I actually do as I'm recording the podcast. Like, for example, right now, as I'm talking here, I'm actually watching on Netflix the movie Eerie. It's throwing me off because I know it's in a foreign language. I didn't even look at which one. I just put it because I want to see it. And it's got subtitles. And I'm trying not to read the subtitles of the movie as I'm telling you stuff right now. Now, on to the main bit of news. Bark, bark, boo. Or, well, hashtag bark, bark, boo. Arf, arf. As I'm recording this, it's kind of funny because today is National Dog Day. Today's the day you're supposed to celebrate your little doggy do. Well, your dogs, not your doggies do. Well, I'll leave that up to you with however you guys want to celebrate. But today's the day you celebrate your dog, your pets. And it's interesting because, like people, many believe that animals, specifically pets, can actually return as spirits. And I know there's stories of dogs returning. So that's what I want to get into. Not ghost pets, people keeping ghosts as pets, but pets returning as ghosts. Like I said, there's people that believe that pets can return as spirits and ghosts and haunt us after death. It's funny because Scholastic Books even had a book by an Alan Zullo called Haunted Pets: True Ghost Stories, and this was meant for kids. The book's description says it includes stories that range from a mistreated bulldog haunting its master, it kind of sounds like a revenge story, to a ghostly cat that comforts its former owner. Aw, ain't that nice? This book is actually meant for 3rd to 8th graders. It's kind of a wide range, but still, that's an early age. I'm pretty sure there's lots of people out there that got into horror and paranormal stuff at that early age. I know I definitely was watching stuff back then. So, do you believe can pets, dogs, cats, parakeets, fucking horses, come back as ghosts and spirits? Well, why wouldn't they? A medium psychic friend of mine, Teresa, actually said, I think anything is possible. Energy cannot be created nor destroyed. So the energy of a pet is probably still present. So maybe it is possible when Mr. Woof Woof comes back to say hello. Interestingly enough, there's actually something called the Ghost Festival, also known as the Hungry Ghost Festival, or the way I'm about to butcher these words, Zongyuanji, or Guiji, or the Yulan Festival, which is actually a traditional Buddhist and Taoist festival, which are held in certain Asian countries. Now, the reason I bring this up is because it seems we are currently in the middle of this celebration. Funny, huh? Recording this on Dog Day in the middle of Ghost Festival. Well, this month, interestingly enough, along with it being the Ghost Festival in the month and everything, there's actually a specific Ghost Day, which this year actually passed already, on August 15th. And that's the day when the realms of heaven and hell and the realm of the living are open to each other. And it's believed that ancestors and deceased relatives come to visit their families from the other side. But it's believed that not just human spirits are the ones that come to visit. Many believe that past pets also come to visit. In Hanoi, Vietnam, there is a pet cemetery actually run by a dog loving Buddhist. Well, I don't know what he likes in the bed, but whatever. But who believes that animal souls should be treated with the same dignity as human ones. We love dogs and cats, not just in this life, but in the next as well, said Nguyen Bao Sing, who actually opened the graveyard 50 years ago. 50 years he's been at it, keeping this pet cemetery going, and says he's buried about 10,000 animals. During the celebration, sausages, grapes, milk, mooncakes, and more are laid at the gravestones of the pets so the pets can enjoy a little something when they come and visit. But so in that part of the world, it's part of their culture to believe that. Like I said, they have a whole festival, a month, a specific day, this and that for it, that pets and stuff can return. That's part of their culture to believe that. Now, I can't say in our part of the world it's necessarily embedded or part in our culture, but there are many stories that do involve pets coming back in spiritual form. New Jersey writer and medium Craig McManus says plenty of Cape May's B&Bs, bed and breakfasts, inns, and hotels are actually home to ghosts of cats and dogs. One such spot is the John F. Craig House, a bed and breakfast where guests actually report feeling a feline brush against their faces in the middle of the night. Hell no. Now, I'll be honest, I'm a dog person. Nothing against people that like cats, but no. See, ain't no dog I know of rubbing its ass on your face while you're sleeping. Cats, I heard, do this when they're alive, let alone fuck that shit if they're coming to do it while you're sleeping. Here, sniff my ghostly cat butt.
Meow.
That's messed up. I'm sorry. And at the Higgaby Beach, there's a large black ghost dog that runs along the sand before vanishing into the air. Now, that I'm cool with. I don't mind being able to see the damn thing, throw a stick at it, and then watch a son of a bitch disappear in midair while catching the stick. I'll be like, oh shit, I guess that was a ghost. Having a cat rub its kitty anus on my face while I'm sleeping, I don't care. Alive, dead, I don't care whose pet you was. Get off my face. One endearing return of a pet is the story of Yaba the dog. Yeah. Now, this one I like. Yaba passed away on August 30th, 2011. Actually, just days before Yaba would have been turning 17. It would have been her 17th birthday. That's a long time for a dog. When Yaba passed, her owner, Maureen, was heartbroken. And when she passed, her thought was actually to take her camera and start taking photos while calling out to Yaba. She was hoping at somehow, somewhere, at some point during taking the pictures, she was hoping she'd capture an image of Yaba in spirit form. Well, apparently, in the second photo she took, there did appear an anomaly in the room that was shaped like a dog. Her owner, Maureen, took the photo and made a memorial to the dog with her toys, a rosary, and a Jesus candle. So she's got this nice little shrine to Yaba for basically kind of appearing after she had passed. Well, one day, Maureen took out the ball and said, "Yaba, here's your ball. Come on, let's play." The ball started to move. It was sitting on the floor and started rolling around. And this happened again and again. And Maureen felt something brush up against her, though she was alone in the house. So in her heart, she believes the ghost of Yaba came back and let her know that all is well and is still with her in spirit. Ain't that pretty? Ain't that nice? So Yaba made it a point to come back, not just play. See, it'd be one thing to say, oh, something was, you know, maybe the ball this. No, the ball moved a couple of times and it was Yaba's ball. And then the owner felt Yaba brush up against her. So it's not just one little tiny thing happened. It's a few things that happened. Another story, in 1993, Jan Price had a near fatal heart attack. Due to the heart attack, she ended up having a near-death experience. She got that close to death. And during her near-death experience, she found herself standing in a weird surrounding, a strange place just full of like smoke and mist. While in this mysterious place, her dog Maggie, an English Springer Spaniel, who had died a month prior, appeared at her side. "I felt her presence, her love, and she happened to appear to me as she had been in physical form, only younger and more vital," Jan said. She also said that Maggie was able to communicate her in some sort of spiritual way, and that Maggie actually said to her, "You know that Daddy can't handle both of us being gone right now." Jan told the dog she was going to go back to the land of the living, and Maggie promised her when her time came to return to heaven, they would explore wonderful things together. Okay. That ending line just sounds creepy because it just makes me think of Hellraiser. But aside from that, it's an endearing story to know that the dog came back and basically said, "Daddy can't have us both gone right now." Maggie had only just passed a month ago. There's no way in hell that your husband's going to survive without you passing a month later. So that dog said, "Bitch, get back in your body. When you come back, we gonna hang, but not right now, okay? Get your ass back downstairs." Now that's nice. Now that's a different level of communication. I like how the first one was spirit came to visit. This one is spirit full out came and made contact in the spirit plane. It was kind of interesting to see two stories on two different levels of contact. Now, Maria Theron wrote a letter to columnist Joan Morris recounting her ghostly visit of a past pet. She said, "We lost our beloved black cat several years ago, but still remember him fondly as our Einstein cat because he was so intelligent. About a week after he died, my husband called to me from the other room. When I got there, he had a strange look on his face, and he said that he had just felt something rubbing around his legs and ankles like our cat used to do. When he looked down, there was nothing there. It may just have been wishful thinking, but I like to think there was a final farewell from our best little buddy." See, so cats can jump in on the fun too. And I guess, I don't know, maybe dogs can talk and cats just meow, and that's why dogs are better. No, I'm just kidding. One of the more notorious haunted places in Michigan is actually the historic Holly Hotel. whose own website actually has a section called Our Ghosts, where they actually have photos and give some of the hotel's paranormal history and encounters. In 1989, Norman Gaither, a professor of parapsychology, actually visited the hotel and said that the hotel is, quote, loaded with spirits. While the hotel is said to have tons of activities ranging from phantom smells, disembodied voices, to moving objects and more, it also has a ghost dog. Guests of the hotel report hearing and seeing the spirit of Leona, the dog of former hotel owner Mr. Hurst. They describe the ghost dog as looking similar to a rat terrier, if you know what that is. Leona can be heard running down the halls. She's been felt brushing up against people's legs, and many people have heard phantom barking throughout the hotel, especially early in the morning. The chefs specifically would hear Leona barking. I guess at some point she would go over and the chefs would give her food, and I guess she's continued the tradition, but I guess since she's no longer in the living plane, she can't really get her snossages, but she's still around. And like I said, the website for the hotel actually talks about it. I'll put the link obviously down below on our episode page, or you guys can go to the hollyhotel.com/our-ghosts and read up on it. Now, what I find interesting, a lot of the stories when I was looking this up, I'm not, because I wasn't going to put every damn story I found, but a lot of the stories seem to be centered around dogs. Maybe that's the reason I'm a ghost person, but a dog person. But yeah, it's interesting that a lot of the stories seem to be dog related. Now, moving on. Now, this I found interesting because this I found late in the research that I was looking things up. Actor Christopher Knight, if you guys know who that is, he's actually known for playing Peter Brady on The Brady Bunch, had a strange encounter while filming a ghost episode of the series. Well, not a ghost episode, just had a strange encounter with a ghost while filming an episode for the series. The cast was actually staying at a creepy bed and breakfast, as he said, and stayed up late telling ghost stories before finally hitting the sack. According to Christopher Knight, he woke up in the middle of the night to find two hunting dogs sitting at the foot of his bed staring at him. Now, if that's not creepy enough, especially if you're supposed to have your own room, if that's not creepy enough, he then said he saw a little girl gazing at him from the doorway. Neither the dogs nor the girl made a sound. So that's creepy right there. Unless he just passed it off as maybe it's the owner's child with her dogs. I don't know what she's doing, but you need to get the hell out of my room. Well, anyway, the next day when Knight related his encounters and told everyone else what was happening, the B&B owner took him to a fireplace where two hunting dogs are depicted on a giant metal fireplace painting. They were the same dogs that Christopher Knight, Peter Brady, says he saw. Now, no one knows if the decorations of the dog on the wall are inspired by the ghost dogs, or if the ghost dogs are the ones that are painted on the painting from before they passed. They might have been two real dogs. No one's actually 100% sure. But the mysterious experience left the young actor shaken. And I don't blame him, because especially back when they were filming the Brady Bunch, ghosts and ghost hunting stuff wasn't exactly on top of everyone's media to-do list and knowledge list. So I don't blame him for being freaked the hell out. Now, these are more stories of actual animals as ghosts, pets usually, but there are cases and stories of places being haunted by animals that could have been possibly more evil, or maybe they're not even animals, but pretending to be animals. But then there's also cases where you see a spirit of an animal that's taken as an omen. One example would be Arundel Castle in England, where people say they see phantom owls flying around, and seeing one is considered a warning to danger to of danger to come. The ghostly birds have been said to appear to castle residents before their own deaths, basically a warning of oncoming trouble, or bitch, you gonna die. My own sister actually currently has a dog who she believes might actually be the spirit of a previously owned dog having returned in a new body. Now, these dogs are separated by actually a few years. Blackie was a black lab who my sister had years ago at a different house from where she is today. Blackie passed away, and my sister... When Becky passed, my sister still had another dog named Snoopy who was still alive and was with us for quite a while, even after she moved to a new home. Actually, she moved a couple of times and still had Snoopy. After Snoopy passed, she didn't plan on getting another dog. But as time passed on, my nephew came home with Bishop, a Rottweiler Husky mix. And Bishop was actually the runt of the litter. And as time went past, my sister has started to see Bishop, who is now about 6-7 years old, having many similar mannerisms that Blackie used to have, in the form of how he reacts to sounds, TV, to people, how he goes to bed, how he actually fixes his bed, and certain foods he likes and doesn't like. So it's much like that movie that came out, A Dog's Purpose. Is Blackie coming back in a new form, coming back to take care of my sister, or even take care of me? Because also to know, years before my sister even got any of her dogs, I had a psychic tell me that she saw a spirit of an old lady near me, but who kept her distance. And this female spirit had a small black dog that belongs to her, but would leave her side and follow me around and play at my feet. It wasn't until years later, my sister got Blackie and now Bishop, two dogs who are mostly black and have very strong connections to me. In fact, Bishop will straight up ignore other people if he hears my voice and come running. Not just for a snack, because sometimes even if I'm not giving him the snack, he still comes over to see me what I'm up to. Now, is anyone out there, have you guys had any visits from any of your past family pets? Has any dog, cats, parakeets, snakes? Oh God, I got to know. I got to hear a snake story, if there's a ghost snake story, on any level, whether it's a pet or not. But if you had a pet, come visit and say hello. I would love to hear about it. Now, you guys can always contact me, like I said, on Twitter and Facebook, Ed Dye Podcast, or hit me up directly on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, is edidead.com. Or you guys can find me at AmazeCon the weekend of November 15th, 16th, 17th. Come say hello, come meet us, see what we got going on. But I'm really curious to hear about these stories. So let me know what's going on in your world. Stay spooky, stay scared, and leave a biscuit out for when the ghost dog comes, because they get hungry.